This program is intended for mature audiences only.
From One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, we bring you A Taste of Sex Reality Audio, a podcast that features personal revelations, stories, and perspectives from people engaged in the active exploration of connection, conscious sensuality, and relationship. This week, the second half of The Art of Seduction. We'll hear a story of the ultimate seduction and an interview with a man who says that seduction is his higher calling. I'm Judy Silber. Join us and turn on. On the one hand, seduction implies sleazy, or if not sleazy, then smooth, as if the person doing the seduction has insincere intentions. On the other hand, if you are seduced by someone you like, that's clearly a good thing. The thing about seduction is that to be successful, the seducer must bypass their target's resistances. This is the nature of seduction. You are pulling people past their natural defenses, often towards something that they want to do, but are afraid of. A story of the ultimate seduction. My most significant story of seduction took place one night in San Francisco, in a part of town called North Beach. I went on a date with a guy whom I had resisted for a long time. I was actually quite attracted to him, but had never allowed myself to admit it. I was scared. Maybe I knew that if I fell, if I let myself go with him, I would fall hard. I had taken BART from the East Bay where I worked, and as I exited the station, I saw him sitting in the bed of his Ford truck, talking on the phone. I climbed up, sat down, and he took my hand and began caressing it. We drove to North Beach and went to dinner at an Italian restaurant. He asked a lot of questions and was interested in my answers. I asked questions, and he answered them thoughtfully, as though he really wanted me to understand. We went for dessert at a cafe. Standing at the glass counter, peering at the tiramisu, he stood behind me and pressed his body into mine. It was in that moment I knew that I was a goner. All of my defenses collapsed. We ordered, sat down with our dessert, and he asked, "How far do you want to go?" The boldness of the question impressed me. I pretended not to understand. "What do you mean?" I asked. Instead of backing off, he became bolder. He leaned forward to kiss me, and though I was shy and conscious of displaying affection in a public place, I totally got lost in that kiss. On the way home, we stopped for gas. He got out of the car, then poked his head back in and kissed me again. And again he impressed me, with his assumption that I would want to be kissed, and doing it so casually, as if he had rights. Later that night, lying on my bed, it became clear that a third entity had entered the room. That third entity was my desire. All of the desire that I had suppressed my whole life because I was too embarrassed and shy, because I felt shame for what I wanted, because I feared that I could never have it anyway, so why bother to want what you cannot have? All of it, and I mean all of it, every last ounce of desire, passion, ambition, craving, and love came spilling out of me. We could both see it, and we were both terrified. It took nearly 2 years of wrangling to sort that night out. I wanted to give the guy credit for all of my desire. He insisted it had nothing to do with him. He said it was something that he had helped tease out, but that my desire was not actually for him. We argued and argued about this. Finally, I realized it really didn't have anything to do with him. In a sense, he was merely the locksmith, the one who knew the combination to a place that had been buried deep inside for a long, long time. That still didn't solve the problem of what to do with my desire. The process of coming to know desire can be terrifying. Once it's out, you realize you cannot live your life the way it was, because your body and mind will no longer accept it. On the other hand, it can take time, or at least it did for me, to grow into a place where I could begin to actualize what I wanted, and hold it as good and right. To be honest, it's still something that I'm working on. I suspect it is a story that will continue until the end of my life. Holzler is one of those people whom you instantly like. He has a way of paying attention to you, where you really feel like he cares. And even though you know it's not just you that he cares about, it doesn't matter. You know that he sees you for who you really are, and in that, you feel special. So it's not surprising that women flock to him. But for Cal, seduction is much more than a way to boost his ego. It's a higher calling to connection, even to spirituality. Okay, so here's my question. Are you always seducing people? Like, in every interaction, is there a level of seduction? Or do you pick out certain people and say, okay, I'm going in there?
It's usually not a choice per se. I always saw my body, my system, my being, almost like this electric pulsating with all these different frequencies. Like, and I have an image in my head, like it looks like with lots of different colors, there's these like lights and like there's all these different frequencies shooting up and down. And all of a sudden, one of these parts in me will get activated by another person. Some people call that attraction. And there is a level of attraction. It's almost like being pulled to somebody. And in my head, almost I was like, okay, here's the next play. Here's the next game. Here's a person that wants to engage.
So there's a switch that gets activated.
There's something in me that gets activated. There's something that they need to give me, and there's something I need to give them.
And then when that happens, do you have a goal? Do you know what your goal is when that happens, or do you just follow?
I would say the only goal is to play and to engage fully as I can. And that's taking tremendous amount of risk, because most of the time when I do that, I make enemies. People get jealous. People think that I want to take something from them. People, a lot of the times, people interpret that as I'm taking something that will benefit me. And most of the time, it even hurts me. And that's something that it's always been hard to explain, because most people looking from a superficial level, they want to have many women around them. Me, naturally, I'd rather sit by myself meditating. There's a story that I had in Israel. I would bump into the same woman over a period of 3 months in different sides of the country. I would sit on a bus up in the north side in Israel, and all of a sudden I was sitting in a bus and she was sitting in front of me. Then I would be in the old city, she would be walking down the street. Then I was at a friend's wedding in a religious environment and she was a waitress. I took her to her side and I told her, this is what's been happening. And I don't know if you've noticed me, but I know there is something that needs to happen between us. And it goes against all rules.
What was it that needed to happen?
What needed to happen, we had a conversation that night for the next 5 hours, and it was the first time she told somebody that she was being sexually abused by her brother. There was something, I mean, she was laying in my arms, crying like a little child, like never before.
So give me the scenario. So you meet someone, the switch goes on, your switch, internal switch goes on saying, okay, I'm going in, and then what?
I start engaging with a person, and I just go with the energy. I start flirting with the person, seeing if they respond.
So you start where they are, so they might be on some very superficial...
I'm very cute, they want a boyfriend. Or I'm the cute guy and the popular guy, and they want to get to know me. They want to spend time with me, or whatever their process is. And when I listen to women, there's almost like I don't feel like they're talking to me. Like, it's automatically, I know that they're going to say what they say. And I know, and I can respond to it because I understand that particular game, because I've been there.
So then you're saying that you can respond to whatever it is that they're putting out, and then in that way you can dive underneath it and find out what it is that really wants to be discovered. I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I have this a lot, because, I mean, I can remember now offhand like 4 or 5 other women that have told me in the last half a year, but you lied to me. And the lie is sometimes something that they are not aware of. It's almost like walking down a road. Like, I've walked down the whole road and I know everything that it's going to come, and they're only halfway down. And I have to be with where they are, but I also have the point of reference of knowing where it's leading.
What's the lie? The lie is that you start off perhaps
the lie is
pretending
that I withhold
to be
information
that you,
from them.
So you know that you're not going to be their boyfriend, but you'll say like, oh well, maybe, or you'll give the appearance of maybe. Is that it?
Not necessarily. I would just tell them that I'm not concerned of what's going to happen later on. Like, I'd rather explore what's happening right now. And explore what does it actually feel like to be as vulnerable as possible.
So some people would have a problem with that, because they would say that you were leading her on.
I actually was. But I also know what she actually wants.
And what does she want?
Connection. Like, if she wanted the same game, I know she would not come to me. She would find a good Jewish boy. She would find somebody that she can actually have as a boyfriend, move into their house, and have a cute boyfriend.
So then what's the point, though? So they get the connection, but then the connection is broken, right? Because you're not going to be who they want you to be. So
what's the point of it? They will actually have what they actually wanted, which is not necessarily the pain of letting go of the story, but being able to go to the next place.
Okay, the next place being what?
To be able to trust more people. And this, it's almost like they allow themselves to have this new point of reference for relationships.
Ah, so through you, they can learn to trust, they can learn to open, and then when they go on to the next relationship, they're that much farther along.
Right.
In terms of having moved through fear so that they can actually connect at a deeper...
Haven't had the experience of letting go of story and just experience connection.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. We'll be back after this short break.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to A Taste of Sex. We'll continue with our theme of seduction on the second half of the show. I'm Judy Silber. I want to go a little bit into your personal history.
It's one of my favorite topics.
Oh yeah, well, it's about you. how did you come to have this particular skill?
I grew up in a home with 12 siblings and in a huge, like very closed, huge family in a small community up in New York, and left home really young. Got involved with some, crazy people and crazy things, a lot of drugs and alcohol. And there was years of, growing up as a child, there was this mystical part of myself that I was constantly in touch with. There were times when I wouldn't talk for weeks. There were times when, the Psalms, I would finish it from cover to cover every few days. And then there would be times as a kid where I was reading these books that, at least in Judaism, you're not allowed to study until you're 40, like different Kabbalistic books. So I had all these crazy ideas, and there was this tremendous amount of yearning and devotion that somehow was an expression of myself.
How did the knowledge in Judaism, Kabbalah, how did that apply to seduction?
What mysticism is in Hinduism has the same thing, and then you have Sufism, you have all these different subgroups of different religions. And what I've always found is, what is found in mysticism is it's almost like the game behind games. It's the unspoken rules of the universe, like laws of attraction, the laws of like the karmic cause and effect to things.
Oh, so you feel like you learn the game.
Right. I mean, here at One Taste, we talk about constantly the orgasm that exists between two people. In Eastern religions, they call it prana, they call it presence, whatever that might be. But I feel like there's a place where two people meet before they actually speak a word. There is a connection that happens that can never be taken away. I mean, I had difficulties with this. It took almost three to four different relationships where I literally felt where I was dying. Like, feeling the sensations of now needing to let go of that
story.
The
loss, the loss. Right.
The loss of the story that I consciously invited into my system, into my almost making them a part of me. Like, there was a part of clinging that...
So there was a part of you that didn't want to let go. There was part of you that was hurt in having to actually let this person go because you, in a way, had seduced yourself.
Right. But that's what it means. I go into this game where there's a part of me that needs to lose perspective.
Well, I was just going to say, why do you have to let go?
of the story?
Yeah.
I don't have to, other than the name of the game means is that they expand, that they actually walk into their power. And that will now be able to happen if I hold on to it. Now it's at a place where they trust more and allow more people into their lives. And now it's for me, it's time for me to remove myself.
It sounds lonely.
A big part of it is. A big part of it is. I mean, there are times when... I mean, people constantly ask me, like, how do you feed yourself? Like, how... when do you receive? And I must say that there's a big part of it that I can't answer. Like, you definitely hear in my voice, like, there's a vulnerable part in there. There isn't a lot of information or acumen that I have. I do know for years growing up and what I was telling you before, having kids come talk to me and have other people open up to me, there's a certain, almost like being an agent of something, of a greater power. So there is a part of me that feels almost like that's purpose. Like when I was 18, there was the desire for me, like I wanted to die. There was years after drugs and alcohol and there was no drive in me. And I remember there was this night on February 2001 when I almost felt like, it felt like being pregnant. Something inside of me ripped open. I remember laying on the street in Ocean Parkway, crying, and I haven't cried for years. I was so numb. And I remember there was this lightness where I was observing myself from above myself, and it was the first time where I experienced my mind being absolutely still. And it was the first time I experienced the physical sensation of fear of death. And from that point, there was something else starting to live through me. And I remember when I was going through treatment, this guy that came up to me and told me, and I was going through this whole like suicidal, like here I am, I couldn't drink anymore, I couldn't drug anymore, none of that was working anymore. I was starting to wake up to these things, but had no idea where my life was going, living with the remorse and the pain of the memories of my past. And he told me, like, maybe it's not worth living. Maybe there is no point to it. But maybe one day there will be a person that will have the same exact experience that you had, and you will be the only one to save his life. Mm. I mean, that shifted something in me that still has a momentum, that life is not about me. There's a certain, like, I know how to gratify myself. I've been in the richest places in the world. I've been with people in power and politics, people that can just say something and things. Lots of people get affected by it. There's a certain sense that I know I can gratify myself that I have no interest in anymore. And coming back to the loneliness, yeah, there's a lot of men in my life or that I've constantly encountered that don't actually get what I'm doing, don't actually get what my engagement with people is, or at least what the highest goal in relationships for me is. It's like I hear these feedback from people of like, God, I'm so jealous. Like, how do you have it so easy with people?
I'm going to assume that there must be women who open with you, and then you both let go, and then she moves on, and then she finds a boyfriend because she's been with you, right? Because she had that level of openness, then she was able to go on and have a level of openness with someone else, but this time it sticks. Is there ever regret on your part?
No.
Or anger.
No. What I found more is the satisfaction that there's something more richer, something more in depth that can happen between them because something that happened with me. Mm. And I mean, it reminds me of the night a girl coming up to me and just reminding me of some of our interactions. And I'm standing there and I'm almost tears in my eyes, goosebumps going through my whole body. And it's almost I'm reminded, oh, those are the moments of when I was 18 years old, this is the sensation of awakening. This is the sensation of hearing how I impacted somebody. And it's constant. So I know I'm on the right track. I have no doubt about that. Knowing that if I continue playing the way I play, I know more people will benefit from it. I know the universe will be a better place. And I know it will bring more satisfaction to me.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you.
listening to A Taste of Sex. If you want to hear the first half of The Art of Seduction, go to personallifemedia.com, where you can also find transcripts of this show. For more information about One Taste, our lectures, classes, and workshops on connection, sensuality, and relationship, check us out at onetaste.us. Tune in next week. I'm Judy Silver.
I can remember standing in front of this girl, and it's like this frequency, this intensity that happens, like looking into her eyes, and then having my heart start beating with hers. Some people call it intimacy. I mean, that's the game, connection. And that's the game that I found always with people, that I had the guts to just drop into confronting that other person, being in front of that person as they were.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.